purchasing technology has become quite sophisticated in recent years. In fact, today's technology can track our every economic transaction. Considering the tracking system of buying and selling that was prophesied in Scripture, this advancement should be of special concern to students of Bible prophecy. Dr. David Jeremiah delivers a strong warning about how the world stands ready to mandate human tracking and the peril to those who embrace the mark of the beast as he continues his series, The Coming Economic Armageddon. Now here's David with more on today's message.
And we thank you for joining us today. Today we take another step in our journey through this discussion of the coming economic Armageddon, and we are going to talk today about the mark of the beast. You would have to be just almost oblivious to what's happening in the world today if you've never heard that term before. It's often talked about. In fact, it's almost used in a flippant way. But it is a truth that comes from the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation and a prophecy concerning what will happen during the tribulation that enables the Antichrist to totally control merchandise and ultimately to control the world. It's one of the most fascinating studies in the prophetic word, and we begin that study today. We will conclude it on Monday, but it is a part of our series, The Coming Economic Armageddon, from a brand new book just released from Faith Words Publishing and available in all of the bookstores across the nation, but especially available from Turning Point. That's right. During the month of October, if you will send a gift to Turning Point of any size, we will return to you a copy of this new book. Today, we're going to be studying from the 6th chapter of this book as we discuss the subject of the mark of the beast. I hope you will take advantage of the opportunity. As I look down at my calendar, we have just one full week left after today, so don't wait too long. This will not be available in this fashion any longer after next Friday. So you have 1 week left to make your request and get your gift into Turning Point. We are counting on your gifts because it is everything above and beyond the cost of the book that we use to plow back into the things God is doing here, paying for airtime, reaching out to new markets, and finding ways to get the message of God's word extended even further around the world. Thank you so much for your investment. We love partnering with you, and it's our joy to send this book to you as our way of saying thank you for your generous gift to Turning Point this month. Right now, I'm anxious to get started teaching from Revelation 13. This is The Mark of the Beast.
If you had access to the search engine Google on October the 7th, 2009, you would have noticed that the usual Google logo had been replaced with a Google Doodle, a simple barcode. If you rolled your mouse over the doodle, you would have seen the caption, "Invention of the Barcode." A little research explains that that doodle marked the 57th anniversary of the granting of the first patent for what is now the ubiquitous universal product code. That little bar that's on every product and newspapers and everything that you take through the scanning at the grocery store or whatever stores you purchase products from. That patent was granted to two American graduate students, and the first use of the scanning technology occurred at the checkout of the Marsh supermarket in Troy, Ohio, in 1974. As someone said, that was one historic pack of gum. Well, that was then, and this is now. In 1974, we barcoded products. Today, we are barcoding people. In his best-selling book, Shadow Government, Grant Jeffrey writes, "Many military intelligence agencies, government agencies, and large corporations have introduced sophisticated security systems requiring employees to wear a badge containing a radio frequency identification microchip, referred to as an RFID chip, that enables companies, agencies, and organizations to monitor the location and the activity of every worker during every moment that he or she is on the premises. When an employee enters the office, a computer records the exact time and begins monitoring his or her every move throughout the day. Security sensors at strategic locations throughout the office record the location and the duration of the activities of the wearer of the badge." Now, I know that some of you who may feel like you have lazy employees would think that to be a good thought. But if you think it through, it's a pretty frightening thing. New technology is making it feasible now for RFID microchips to be painlessly implanted beneath the skin. Kevin Warwick, a professor of cybernetics at Reading University in England, claims to be the first person in the world to be voluntarily implanted. Warwick experimented on himself by implanting a sophisticated computer chip that enabled him to transmit signals to the university's communication system. The implanted device was 3 millimeters wide and 23 millimeters long, and it emitted unique signals that you could only hear if you had transmitters working in what they called an intelligent building. Most of us can still remember the horrible scenes of death after the tragedies of September 11th in 2001. We remember the sacrifice of the New York City policemen and firemen that were made on behalf of the victims of that terrorist attack. As a means of ensuring their own identification, should they become victims, many of them wrote their badge numbers on their bodies. And an enterprising American company, reading about that, saw the need of positive identification in such emergencies and went to work on what is now called the VeriChip. In 2004, the FDA approved the resultant rice grain-sized RFID microchip for implanting under the skin of humans to provide personal information in emergency situations. Did you hear that? A chip the size of a grain of rice implanted under the skin. You cannot believe how much information can be held in that little microchip. Now, while all this information is fascinating, if you're like me, it's also somewhat frightening. At our current pace, it's not going to take many more years for the privacy of Americans to be added to the list of the memories of the good old days. Yes, technology of modern tracking devices is amazing, and especially to those of us who read the Bible, because we know about the prophecy of the mark that will identify the followers of the Antichrist in the end times. But there is something that is even more stunning to me, and I want to show it to you today before we get involved in this discussion of Revelation chapter 13. Did you know that the Bible predicted where we are today over 1900 years ago? The fact that the words of Revelation 13 were penned in the age of wood and stone, swords and spears and Roman togas makes the prophecy of Revelation 13 one of the most powerful proofs that God's word can be trusted. Who could have predicted a one-world economic system that controls all commerce but God? Here's how he does it. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Only God can declare from ancient times things that are not yet done. And he predicted where we are today, 19 or more hundred years ago. And this astounding prophecy about the mark of the beast, which is able to be fulfilled with today's technology, is just one more compelling piece of evidence that the God of the Bible is the true and living God, and that the Bible is his inspired, inerrant word. And that's what we're going to see today as we go through this study. Now, one of the questions that is often asked when we speak of the Antichrist or the mark of the beast is this. If these events take place during the tribulation period, and I am a Christian who is raptured to heaven before the tribulation period, why should I be concerned about something that happens on earth after I'm gone? And that is a reasonable and logical question, and I believe the answer to be just as reasonable and just as logical. You see, the events that are described in Revelation 13 that take place during the 7 years of tribulation will take place at the middle of the 7 years. We know that from the study of the scripture. So 3.5 years into the 7 years of tribulation, the events we're going to talk about today will transpire. Now listen carefully. If we believe as we do that the rapture could happen at any moment, that there's not anything yet that needs to take place before Jesus comes to receive us to himself, if we believe it could happen at any moment, and if the tribulation takes place immediately after that, then what that means is that we could be within 3 to 4 years of the events of Revelation 13 actually happening on this earth. And believe it or not, those events are not going to take place catastrophically. They're not going to just start. There will be a buildup to these events that takes place over a number of years. And ladies and gentlemen, we're in the buildup. We're in that period of time where we're beginning to see the technology that will be necessary to fulfill the prophecy of Revelation 13. And it's unfolding right in front of us as citizens of this nation. So this is not just stuff to read about and learn about. It is important because we could be on the very threshold of these things taking place. Now, in all of our studies in prophecy, we have consistently warned that future events cast their shadows before them. And the events of the tribulation cast their shadows before them. To say it simply, we're living in the shadows. And the shadows predict the coming of the event. Now, the biblical setting for the mark of the beast is found in Revelation chapter 13. And I'm going to teach this chapter, so I want you to find this in your Bible. You may have a different translation, but you'll be able to follow this as we go along. Here the Apostle John describes the vision that God gave to him concerning events of the future. And these events form the centerpiece of the seven-year tribulation period. It is here in Revelation chapter 13 that we are introduced to the global population control system, the end times. We know this. We speak of it as the mark of the beast. We are not unfamiliar with that term because it has been popularized in our day through movies like Omen in 2006 and through fictional writings throughout many of the modern days. But I need you to know this end time phenomena is not fictional. What we're going to talk about today is real, and it will happen and is in the process of beginning its happening even as we sit here today. Now, I want you to notice what John tells us about the mark of the beast beginning in the early parts of the chapter. First of all, you need to understand that this mark, this control mark, is originated by Satan. All of this is born in the mind of Satan. Revelation 13:2 says, "The dragon gives him his power, his throne, and his great authority." One of the great descriptions of Satan is given to us in Revelation chapter 12. Turn over in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, and notice what it says. "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." In Revelation chapter 12, we are told that the devil and his angels are cast down to the earth. In Revelation chapter 13, we begin to see how he is going to take his power and control and totally corrupt everything that he touches. In the 13th chapter, in Revelation, Satan's driving motivation is very clear. Do you know what the driving motivation is that keeps Satan going? It is the desire to be worshipped. Do you remember back in Isaiah when we are told about Satan being cast out of heaven the first time? And remember the words that Isaiah put in his mouth? Here's what he said: "I will be like the Most High God." Satan is driven by this compulsion to be worshipped. Do you remember when he took Jesus out into the wilderness to tempt him? And he offered Jesus the kingdoms of the world if what? If he would bow down and worship him. Now, at this particular point in history, Satan has come to the conclusion that nobody is going to do this voluntarily, or at least not many. So he is going to institute a program that requires people to worship him. And one of the things that will happen at the end of the age, and we could live to see much of this, in fact, there's some evidence that it's already starting, is there will be an incredible return on the part of many people to the worship of Satan, and Satanism will begin to grow, and we see evidences of that even in our culture today. Satan's driving motivation is to be worshipped. And as we study this chapter, we're going to see how he tries to make that happen. Now, at the outset of our discussion, it's important to understand one thing. Satan is a copycat. He's the world's greatest imitator and counterfeiter. I don't think he's ever had an original idea in his whole career. Everything he does is a counterfeit of what God does. For instance, God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Here in Revelation 13, we're going to learn that there is an unholy Trinity, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Satan mimics everything that God does. In the Trinity, in the Holy Trinity, what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to bring glory to Jesus Christ. In the unholy Trinity, we shall discover that the ministry of the false prophet is to cause people to worship the Antichrist. Everything Satan does is counterfeit. And just as the ministry of God, so you will watch and see Satan trying to do what God does so that he can get the worship that he desires. This whole plan of the mark of the beast originates with Satan. But secondly, the mark of the beast is ordered by the Antichrist. And we learn about this once again in Revelation 13. We read, I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a beast, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The devil gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. John's vision of the coming of the Antichrist is shown to him as if it were a beast rising up out of the sea. And if you're a student of prophecy, you know that this beast is a composite of the 4 animals that Daniel saw in his prophecy in the Old Testament. In Daniel's prophecy, these 4 beasts represented the 4 kingdoms that would arise one after the other, from Babylon to Medo-Persia to Greece and to Rome. When John describes this beast, he sees it, and he sees it in a very graphic way. He sees 7 heads and 10 horns. It's 10 crowns and its blasphemous name. Many believe this is a picture of the revival of the Roman Empire, but it is also the picture of the ruler of the revival of the Roman Empire, the Antichrist himself. And the Bible says here in Revelation that this beast has a look about him as a leopard. And many Bible scholars have noted that the leopard is the one beast that represents the 3 major races of colors of people. For instance, the leopard is brown like an Asiatic. It has a white stomach like the European or Caucasian, and it has black spots that align it with the African peoples. The leopard combines the colors of the 3 main races of people, and the Antichrist will be such an international figure. He will bring the peoples of the world together under his dynamic leadership. And according to John, this beast, this Antichrist, gets all of his power, all of his throne, all of his great authority from the devil himself. Just as when Jesus walked upon this earth, he did only those things which pleased the Father. The Antichrist walks upon the earth and is filled with the power of Satan. And the evil activity of the Antichrist is given to us, and I must summarize this because we can't study every single verse. But if you read the next few verses here, you'll discover that the evil activity of the Antichrist is described in verses 3 through 11. And we are told that the Antichrist causes the world to worship him and to worship Satan. Once again, what is Satan's driving motivation? To be worshiped. And the Bible says the Antichrist is helping Satan get his goal to be worshiped. As the official voice of Satan, the Antichrist speaks great words of blasphemy against God, and he makes war with the saints and all who dwell on earth, whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, worship Satan and worship the dragon who empowers him. How frightening to us to realize that the final form of evil in the world in which you and I live will be that moment when people no longer worship the God of heaven, but they worship Satan of hell. And Satanism will be the universal worship of the world for those who have not had their names put in the Lamb's Book of Life. The mark is originated by Satan. It's ordered by the Antichrist. But here's the third thing. The mark is orchestrated by the false prophet, the third person of the unholy Trinity. And here's where we're going to spend the rest of our time, because the false prophet, this second beast that we read about in Revelation 13, is the one who manages all of this. He orchestrates it all on this earth. During the time when Satan is controlling the population of the world and getting everyone to take the mark and to bow down and worship him, it is the false prophet, the religious leader, if you will, who is going to orchestrate all of this and make all of this happen. Now, let's read about him in Revelation chapter 13. First of all, his description. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast, or the Antichrist, in his presence, and he causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, please note the description of the second beast, or the false prophet. The Bible says that this creature looks like a lamb, but he has a voice like a dragon. He looks like a meek and mild lamb. Now, why would Satan ever design the false prophet to look like a lamb? What is Satan's mode of operation? Counterfeit. What does the Bible say about Jesus? He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So Satan creates his Jesus like a lamb. Unfortunately, as you look deeper, you discover that Satan's lamb is really a ravenous wolf. He is in reality a Satan-possessed man who exercised authority and power in the name of the Antichrist. And the Bible says he does miraculous things to cause the whole world to bow down and worship the Antichrist and his image. I just want to insert this because I want to bring this back to where we are today. Let me say this to you, ladies and gentlemen. All the false prophets aren't going to be in the tribulation period. We got some of them around now. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. That's a warning for today. The false prophet in this chapter, Revelation 13, is the epitome of every false prophet who has ever gone before him. And Jesus said, we need to be warned against false prophets who come with the voice and with the personality and with the calmness of a lamb, but who inwardly are ravenous wolves. I watched a little special about Jim Jones, and I couldn't help but think that that's the way he got those people to follow him and ultimately took them to their death.
Well, there's never a good place in a prophetic series to pause, and especially when the pause has to last for the whole weekend, but pause we must, and we'll be back to conclude all of this on Monday. Friday is always a good opportunity for me to tell you about the weekend ministries of Turning Point. First of all, let me remind you that the priority for everyone who is a Christian ought to be their local church, their local assembly. I encourage you to make your way to your local congregation this weekend and let Turning Point be a motivation for you not to stay home from church, but to be in church and take your place among the people of God. Over the weekend, Turning Point Television reaches almost every home in this nation at some time. Most of the times that we're on the air are during a period of time when you would not normally be in church, and so we encourage you to catch us on Turning Point Television this weekend as you have opportunity. This weekend, I will be teaching on the Mark of the Beast on television, so you'll be able to kind of lay these two presentations together, and God will use it to help you understand and remember the things that we're teaching from the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. Also, don't forget to make sure you have your tickets for the events that are coming up. Turning Point's rallies are very few and far between, but they're very powerful. And we want you to come and be with us on November the 4th in Washington, D.C., or November the 18th in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Tickets are available for those two events. When you order them from davidjeremiah.org/rallies, we will send them to your home. Make sure you do it today. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
The message you heard today originated in the pulpit of Shadow Mountain Community Church, where David serves as senior pastor. Did you know that Turning Point is on radio and television this weekend? To find programming in your area, visit our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio or call us at 800-947-1993. When you call or visit online, request this month's resource, The Coming Economic Armageddon. This new book by best-selling author Dr. David Jeremiah will help you learn how to protect yourself spiritually and financially. It's yours today for a gift of any amount when you call 800-947-1993 or visit davidjeremiah.org/radio. We'd also love to hear what God is doing in your life through this broadcast. Write to Turning Point, Post Office Box 3838, San Diego, California 92163. This is Mark Larson. Join us Monday as we continue the series, The Coming Economic Armageddon, on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.